Hey guys, welcome to the Trade Talk podcast by Subbies. Today we're diving into a topic that any small business owner I'm sure can relate to, and that's just the topic around being a business owner and all the stresses and issues that come with that when you involve the family relationship within the business as well, be that wife, partner, kids, or all of the above. Today I'm joined with Avon Collis from Relevate. Who specializes in helping businesses wow their customers with amazing communication and follow-up using automation. And Avon's been in the business industry and self-employed for a long time as well, so knows the true effects of all this, and we're going to dive into that a bit today. So thanks for joining us, Avon.
No worries.
So I guess, firstly, a big one that I know we've both been affected by is interruptions, and that can be on any level, but I know with your line of work, a lot of that is around the doing webinars and doing conference calls and that sort of thing. So what's some of your funny experiences around that?
I guess we were chatting a bit earlier about how, I used to have a small business. It was a cafe. You get interruptions all the time. And part of that was, all of a sudden, your kid's sick and they can't go into daycare on that day. So, you either got to go and do a doctor's certificate or hang around or try and lump them on a parent or, sometimes I was one day found my 6-month-old in, sorry, she was probably about 8 or 9 months at the time. Anyway, she was in the pram and we got the near the basement of this shopping center, and then unload half a container worth of stock into the storeroom. And basically, I had to do it as fast as I could. And this is sweaty old Darwin, by the way, too. And she's in this plastic pram and there's very poor ventilation and lots of car exhaust fumes and trying to put all these boxes away before she starts crying. And, 2/3 of the way in, she starts crying. But if I stop now, the delivery driver's going to get the shits. And then, what do? You just got to, play through the pain. So I know all about an interruption.
Yeah, no, it's one of those ones that it's just about sucking it up and getting stuff done. And everyone out there listening to this, especially if you're a business owner, I know has been in that situation before, because it's just, like you say, stuff's unpredictable. Kids get sick. You need to quickly go and do something. Something happens at another job, whatever that is. And it just runs into and can have a bit of a domino effect if you don't have a system of really dealing with it and just stepping back and just calming down and assessing the situation and then moving on. I know within our businesses, it's can really take a turn for the worst if you don't get it under wraps really quick. So obviously another point around this is just the stress that's related around the business, owning a business, sorry. And so what do you have any techniques that you use to sort of de-stress so you're not taking those stresses home with you over your time?
Yes and no. I mean, no matter whatever technique you get, you have, we're all sort of human and we're all sort of, you watch that ANZ ad for the guy who's the builder, and it's like, well, business is good, but it's crashing, but we're putting on staff and we're growing and it's terrible. And you find it's really hard to be on that kind of roller coaster. So you've got these highs and you've got these lows. And I guess at the end of all, you've really just got to have these minimum standards. So, like, what's the bare minimum that you accept? That's more about, trying to allocate your time. But as far as de-stressing and all that goes, you've got to make time for yourself, for your family. I mean, part of spending time with them is good relaxing. I mean, most people go, oh, you should do yoga or meditate. Well, that's not everybody. That's not me. Maybe I'll go for a bike ride or something, or I'll sit down and have a coffee and stare out the window for a bit. you got to find your own sort of whatever works for you, but try to do it something different from doing the business. I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah. So yeah, and I agree. So obviously, I have two young kids as well as my partner. So spending time with them is always a good one too. And anything looking at water for me, it doesn't matter how long I look at water for, or what type of water it is that's bigger than a bathtub anyway. That seems to really rejuvenate me. And also just sitting doing anything that's not business related, like you were saying, just seems to get different sort of brainwaves going or something, and stuff actually seems to come to you quicker as well when I do that. So that's one way. The other thing I did, which I didn't think much about it, is most business owners, I wouldn't say get fantastic sleep, because they're usually, you know, thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or what happened today or whatever the case may be. And a lot of people struggle to get that out of their head when they're sleeping. And I know a big one for me is I get a lot of emails and a lot of that sort of thing. So a big one, all I did was simply not turn off my phone at night, but just use that little half moon thing on your phone. And just so all those distractions aren't coming in at night and sort of interrupting your sleep. Because when you're someone who's used to being on the go all the time like that and having stuff pinging in your ear needing attention, to really get that proper sleep so you can function better the next day and so on, was a big one for me. And I've noticed in leaps and bounds I've got better since I just did that one small little trick. So, so it's all those little things and, what, like you say, whatever works for you. So that's one thing that worked for me.
Can I tell you a little secret?
Go for it.
I have not taken my phone off silent for the last 12 months. And it's probably the best thing I've ever done, because now I'm not like, I mean, you get this issue with task switching where you go from like, oh, I'm going to do this email. Now I've got to make this call. And then this other thing's going on. And you never really fully close out one thing. And so that either rears its ugly head later, or it's just another thing that's on your mind. And so you're not giving that one thing that you have to do your full attention. So yeah. I kind of have this thing where, if I get a call whilst I'm on a call, I will never, in fact, I've got two calls while we're here, and I've just hung up on them because right now this is the moment I'm in. And I think people can't try and do everything, and then they're spreading themselves so thinly, they just don't have the capacity to deal with any more. You know, there's studies that show that if you've got one person throwing a ball to you, you're going to catch it, or you're going to have a better reaction time to catch it than if you've got two people doing it at the same time. You don't know which one to go for. So just by splitting your attention, you're splitting your effectiveness. And when you talk about sleep, it's very important to, you know, carve out those times of the day so that when you get to going to do those tasks, you're your best you, you're your most productive you, and you can pay them the attention they need. You can solve it faster, think faster, get more done in less time, so that when you switch off from work mode, you're a basic normal human again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the good thing about that, with that time management scenario that you're talking about, just getting one thing finished and then moving on to the next. And I know that's very hard for especially small business owners that mightn't have all the access to a heap of different people and that sort of thing. But with obviously these days with technology, that's getting easier and easier if you know how to use job management tools and CRMs, which is obviously right up your alley, and that sort of thing, are making that sort of stuff easier and easier. But I know I'm terrible for it, for switching tasks in between, and not necessarily a phone call. I wouldn't just drop a phone call to do another one, but I do find myself getting sidetracked with doing different tasks. Because, and the problem is, you don't want to let anyone down, especially when you're a service-based company, say like a trades business such as myself. You don't want to let anyone down. But the problem I found is if you try and keep all these balls in the air, like you mentioned, is all you do is let everyone down. Instead of saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm finishing here, then I'll be with you, and give it 100% effort here and then 100% effort at the next job. If you've got all those balls in the air, everyone notices it. You make yourself look like a fool for one, and then you really don't get anything done. So you've actually been less productive with all these balls in the air than... And as I say, you just generally annoy everyone, which is frustrating.
Well, I think people kind of respect you if you just say, look, you know, give me a moment. I'm going to give this the proper attention. Then when I've done that, I'm going to give you the proper attention. Yeah. And, you know, I think if you bulk your tasks, and, you know, there's studies around this as well, where if you bulk your tasks together, so for example, schedule a time between, you know, don't do emails before 10 a.m. Then schedule a time at 10 a.m. to spend 1 hour doing emails. And then once you've done that, don't touch them again until, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. If someone wants you urgently, you know, they're going to call. You know, anyone who relies on email as a primary form of communication is probably not thinking right. You know, it's really about, like, people, it's asynchronous. You can leave it, like, you know, 3 days, 5 days. I mean, it really depends on the role. Like, if obviously, if you're doing, like, a project management and it's you're monitoring these things, then you've kind of got to chunk all that in between in, like, the work times. I mean, there's no one answer to anything, but certainly, you know, taking on at least some of these concepts is a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. And I know I was talking to a guy I know who's actually in a completely different industry from me, but he was saying even the one thing he tries to instill in the guys under him is just a simple thing around the emails, like you said, is it's not trying to get something done right at the end of the day, but it even can be just around if you get an email within that last hour, you say, hey, I've got your email. I'll get back to you with a certain time the next day. And all that is just that, yes, I've received it. You are important to me, but I'm currently busy and I will give you my full attention at 10 o'clock tomorrow, whatever that is. And that's all people want these days. It's just the start of the communication process and knowing that, yes, I am, you are important and I've now scheduled a time. That's how important you are to me, that I want to give you my full attention, which is ultimately exactly what you just said. But it's interesting that obviously it overlaps in any industry that people really do appreciate that side of it, and that just really do appreciate that they're important as well. So,
well, there is a thing called the productivity quadrant, and it's basically breaks things up into four things. So urgent and important, urgent and not important, that's usually Facebook, not urgent but important, and then not urgent, not important, which is, you know, going for golf days and all that sort of stuff, and not urgent and important, so like getting your will done. So you could basically simplify that to do, delay, delegate, or drop.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a look at those four things and just going, all right, well, this task right now, is it a now thing? Is it a, you know, tonight or by the end of the day thing? Or is it can I give it to somebody else, or do I just got to ignore it? I mean, there's so much noise and clutter. You've got blogs, you've got websites, you've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You've got every telemarketer, I get 100 of them a day now, coming at you. And at the end of the day, like, I don't even bother explaining to them that I don't want to speak to them or telling them not to remove me. All I do is two things: hang up immediately and then go and block the number. And so you close that window on them, and then you've got, you know, you move forward with your life. I unsubscribe from emails that I don't need ruthlessly. So, you know, how are you actually, where are you choosing to place your attention? Because your attention is your wealth. It's not really your money at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly right. And that stems a big one for me, because I know as a, And I don't know if this is just trade business owners or whatever, but especially trade business owners, I've found, because I was one of them, very hard to let go of tasks as well, which I know you just touched on. And part of that is that now you're trying to do all this 100 different things. And a lot of them, as you said, a lot of them aren't important. A lot of them aren't going to change anything for the next day or the next week or even the next year, possibly. So, yeah, but because you don't like letting go of tasks, you're now doing all these 100 tasks yourself, or you've now lumped them on your partner who isn't interested in them, for one, and they don't feel appreciated, which is another topic we wanted to touch on as well. So the appreciation around these sorts of things too, if you're just lumping shit on people because either you've let it get to a point where it's very overwhelming and now you can't do it, or you don't want to do it, or whatever the case may be, there's got to be an understanding there to me around other people not really wanting to do it either. And especially when they're a partner, I think they're someone who we just fall back on, like free labor. I know I've done it in the past, and a lot of people we're dealing with within the trade community do that a lot as well, is their partner just has to pick up the slack because they might be at home with kids or that sort of thing. And it's not really the right way to go about it, because you really need someone who's got some passion about it too. But also, this is where boundaries also come into this as well, is you've now broken that boundary between work and home because you've simply pulled them into work that they didn't really want to do or potentially have even the skills to do. So then when stuff starts blowing up at home or in the workplace, as it may be, then, you know, you're almost nearly liable for being responsible for that, because you've then pulled someone in who really didn't want to be there. And it's not productive to have someone in a task that they don't want to do or know how to do, rather when there's 1,000 people out there that you could hire to do the same job very productively, or, you know, outsource in general. And yeah, that the boundary one is a very hard one with a small business owner. And I know you'd be the same, I know, because you work alongside your wife with some business stuff as well. So
yeah,
well, it's a tricky situation for sure.
Yeah, well, she, you know, she's, you know, been standing at the register pregnant, and she's also, you know, we've spent, you know, between 10 till 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. doing stuff for the, you know, making the products. And then we've, you know, we sit here late at night and we're doing the work together and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, like, if getting back to that, that wealth and value and attention equation, you know, you've, what you give your attention to is what you value. So, you know, at some point you've got to give value to relationships. And speaking of value, you know, a business owner, you should be charging yourself out at a higher rate than what you would the average person. So why aren't you charging, you know, perhaps your wife's time out and value that as though they're an employee, because that's what it's costing you, is time, and time is money, but it's also the opportunity to go and spend that time doing other things. Are you adding an extra margin on the project so you don't then have to do that again? Are you maybe underpricing your work so that you can get the deal over the line, but sacrificing your relationship at the same time? You know, most business owners go only take about $50,000 out of their business for their own wages, when really they should probably be the highest paid. I know everybody talks about, you know, you've got to do it tough and do it hard and all that sort of stuff. But if you start thinking about it differently and valuing your time, no, because, you know, you've already made a loss in not paying yourself for ages to get the business off the ground. Now you've got to get that back and more moving forward. So, you know, value your time at least, $100 an hour for starters. And then maybe value your wife's time as your own. And then you'll be able to think about, you know, what's really going on. How much time is everybody actually spending? Because it's so easy to get swept under the rug if you're not counting it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just with you touching on that sacrifice word that pops up in every business manual that anyone's ever read these days. Oh, you've got to sacrifice to get ahead and this and that. And that, yes, that is true. But yeah, I agree. It can't be sacrificed to the point where you're living in poverty, or sacrifice to the point where you can't pay your partner who's now part of the business or whatever else, or sorry, pay yourselves for the work that they're doing. Yeah, it's just, that's what's the point being in business? You might as well just work for someone, let your partner go and work somewhere else and enjoy the benefits of having no stress and all the family time in the world. So there's got to be that understanding around why did you get into business? And generally it's not for anything that ends up happening. Yeah. I know early on in our business, I had a time where my lovely wife actually handed all my bookwork back to me and said, "You blip, do it yourself." And that was a real moving point for me, because I know I used to be the same as a lot of other guys, especially who aren't very organized, tradies, I'm looking at you, who drop their diary full of receipts on their wife's desk or have random calls going to them that they know nothing about or that sort of thing. And now they've got to put the pieces together and then they wonder why that becomes a clash of heads at the end of the month. And I know I was one of them. I got it thrown in my face pretty early and I sorted my shit out real quick. We hired people who were better at certain areas and things got rapidly better real quick. So that's an interesting one. And I mean, that leads into another one we wanted to touch on as well, that Avon spoke about earlier with having his daughter in the pram in the Darwin heat and trying to load all the boxes and that sort of thing. I've had a similar scenario where I went to drop my daughter off at the babysitter's on my way to work, and the babysitter now couldn't take her. She was sick or whatever the case was. It was just, it seemed like a very thin excuse. But anyway, so I've now ended up with a two-year-old with me and heading to a construction site for the day. Mind you, this was in Canada. It's quite cold in Canada sometimes.
I was going to say, did she have the white card on her?
So I've ended up, luckily I was working inside that day, but I've now ended up essentially on a construction site with a two-year-old kid and trying to get in place how her mother was going to put her work off to come and get her and all these other scenarios. So these are the types of things that small business owners are juggling day to day. It can be not just kids, but employees calling in sick and all the rest of the list goes on. And it's just, I think, like we were talking about before, Avon, it's really how you manage those situations and how you react to those situations, I guess, that really separates what they say, the men from the boys, I guess, is really how you handle that scenario and what's thrown at you. Because you can either, what do they call, you either sink or swim. And those are the situations where you really do get thrown under the bus. And yeah, you've got to deal with it. And that comes back to that communication and that sort of thing where you've just got to give 100% to the problem that's at hand now, which you didn't know was coming, but let people know outside of that. Give 100% of your time to dealing with that and then move to the next task. It's just, yeah, it's just all part of it and a very exciting part of business ownership.
Indeed.
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you just got to ask yourself a question is, what's my highest and best purpose right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is that simple, isn't it? Like, if you can't answer that to the task you're doing, probably not that important. So, and I know I wanted to touch on another thing that there's this work-life balance gets thrown around a lot and the ideas around that. And there's any amount of experts that want to tell you that you can't have a work-life balance. You've got to have a third in-between model and that sort of thing where you maybe go to the gym on your way home, release all of your anger and then go home. And while I agree with that in premise, there's also the fact that a lot of the times work will cross over into family life, say going to not to a seminar, but say hosting an event or that sort of thing where you couldn't get babysitters or whatever else. And that may end up that you've got your family there with you and that sort of thing. So sometimes it's embracing that work-life ratio, especially when you're new and starting out, and you don't have a lot of support behind you. And I know you've been there yourself, Avon, with various things you guys have done.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it like a bank account. You know, you make deposits, you make withdrawals. As long as it zeroes out or balances at the end of the day, then, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, we went to, it was a Sunday, I met a client, it was a 3-hour drive. The kids went to the beach and, you know, had ice cream and had a wander around. And, you know, I had an hour and a half long meeting. And then at the end, we all went out to lunch and came on home. So we kind of blended a bit of family time and a bit of business time. And, you know, there's times we've done that the other way where I've gone and had fun with the kids while the wife goes and has meetings and does this and that. And, you know, it's fair. Like we're both driving to get somewhere in our lives and you know, we're both supporting each other. But as long as you've got the bank account balances, you're not just keep making withdrawals all the time and then you're in negatives and then all of a sudden they foreclose on you, then, you know, that's not the best way to go.
No, exactly. And I think a lot of people in this small business space, doesn't matter what industry you're in, I think a lot just in general just beat themselves up about a lot of this stuff too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Basically, the idea of our talk today was just around stop beating yourself up about it, because everyone's been in your situation before and they've either come out the other side or they've gone out of business or and by choice or no money or whatever that looks like. But that the choice is yours. So it's really how you address that and and just ask yourself at the end of the day, is this really what I want to do? Because if it is really what you want to do, you'll make time for it. You'll make it happen. So, I mean, that's a proven fact. If you want something bad enough, you will make it happen. So it's the way you go about that without getting divorced or without anything else along the way would be a big bonus, because two people at the top of a business is much, much easier and much better to have a supportive base when you've kids involved and that sort of thing around your business as well. So, yeah, as I say, it was just hang in there, keep kicking along. And if either myself at Subbies or Avon through his business at Relevate could be of any help with anything that we've touched on today, automating your business, Avon's your man for that. Please reach out and get in touch. And we hope this has resonated with you guys. Thanks.
Thank you very much.